Previously on Improv Sucks.
Can you just do it for them?
Yeah, so funny.
Okay, so this is Tracy Morgan doing an impression of Eminem.
Oh my god.
Hey, I'm Kevin. Thanks for tuning in. We sat down with Spanx to learn about their respective journeys to Chicago, what brought them together, and why they think improv sucks. Let's listen in.
We're all in the comedy program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it still comedy studies or is it...
The major...
Boom! Take it down.
The major is called Comedy Writing and Performance, and then that special program, concentrated semester we do at Second City is called Comedy Studies. Yeah.
I wanted to go to school in Chicago because I was interested in Second City.
Right.
And then I stumbled while searching just that they had a partnership with Second City, a lot of the same teachers. And then I found the semester and I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
I'll go here. And yeah, the marketing is major, get a degree, it's comedy. And I was all right, sure.
Yeah.
Because this is where I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be here in the city, and then I found this school.
Well, and where are you from?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, that's fascinating. What was it about, how did you hear about Chicago?
I just know that, I grew up loving SNL, and then I found out later that a bunch of those people come from Second City. And then I also loved SCTV, all those Canadian people.
Oh, wow.
Doing Second City in Canada. That was great. So then I found out that you could do that here. And my first day here was move-in day. I'd never been to Chicago before that.
Oh, my gosh.
Same.
Really? That's the same for you? Mm-hmm. Where'd you come from?
I'm from Oklahoma.
Yes.
But, I didn't know anything about Second City coming here. I knew that that comedy was, there was a lot of comedy here.
Yeah.
And I heard through, a friend about Columbia. And so, first day here, I was just a girl in Chicago. But, yeah.
That takes some serious bravado to just up and go to a city that you had never been to Chicago before at all.
No.
That is terrifying to me.
Yeah, I didn't even do the tour or anything.
I missed the convocation. Mm-hmm. I didn't do, and I met all my roommates day of. I thought I was going to go to school for psychology in McGill. So that's Canada. So I was I'll have a little bit
Montreal,
of
Montreal, right?
Yeah. And then I said, just kidding, took a gap year after high school. So it was a lot less scary to come here because I went other places first. And then I was just came right here and I was oh, fuck it.
Yeah. What about you, Lucy?
So I'm from Atlanta and I was doing this summer theater thing at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. And I met this other girl who had done a bunch of acting and had also was interested in comedy. And then we were freaking out about schools because it was the summer before our senior year of high school. And I was like, I haven't even taken the fucking SAT. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I don't know anything about this. And she said, there's a school called Columbia that's test optional.
So that's Columbia.
And so then I was like, what? Okay, that would be my jam. And then she told me about the comedy major. I don't know how she heard about it, but that's how I heard about it. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept it in the back of my mind. I applied and I got in because it's super easy to get in. And then I just toured it when I visited Chicago for the very first time that February of my senior year. And then I remember Columbia had hot chocolate at their tour, and then I was like, oh, that's cool. And then you could sit in bean bags in the tour room. So I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then Columbia has a lot of murals along the streets that it's on, and the fire escapes of some of the buildings are turquoise.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when I was on the tour of the school, and I was like, oh my god, I want to go to this place that has turquoise fire escapes. And then I just sort of decided the comedy major. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with it besides I liked playing funny characters in plays and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I just moved here, and my dad lived here when he was in the 80s, so he already knew the city, sort of. So it just sort of made sense.
Yeah.
And Lucy does plays, too. She does, more theater than we do. She takes advantage of Columbia's, theater program. She does it in Main Stage.
Yes.
Cute.
I dropped out of high school, so yes. I started really early. But I wanted to do theater stuff, didn't know what I was gonna do. But then I was like, I don't know, it felt unrealistic to pursue comedy, so I got my GED and went to a community college and then transferred to another in-state college, and it just like wasn't working. So then I went to culinary school in Rhode Island, and it was the worst because Providence is like, I don't know, it's just like the rich and the poor, and I wasn't rich. So it was like awful, and I was like, I guess I'll go back to square one. And I just started Googling where like my favorite female comics went to colleges, and a lot of them were very prestigious, which was discouraging. But then Edie Bryant went to Columbia, so I was like, okay, that's cool. And there was kind of between Columbia and Emerson for a while. But Emerson didn't have like, they offered comedy courses, but it wasn't a full-fledged major. So then I went on the little tour, and people seemed cool, and there was like art on the streets, and I was like, I'm in Fame. So
then crazy how Columbia fools you.
Yeah.
The turquoise fire escapes and the art and the bean bags. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah.
First I want to know where you're from, and then I want to get right back into how they're duping you.
I'm from Denver.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Now, wait, what?
She lives in a beautiful
They really pull you in with all the mountains. The art and the goodies.
They give you a box when you get accepted, and it's like this, it's really cool, and you get like your own journal and a sticker set and like a congratulations, like you've made it, like welcome to art school, like it's nothing's like this. And I was like, oh my god, some people get letters and I get a box. And then like you come here, right, and there's like the loft, flats, bean bags, modular furniture. And I was like,
so it seems like maybe they're like trying to sell you the idea of art school.
They've nailed the idea.
Yeah.
But the whole point of going here is that's only half of it. You have to do you do so much outside of it.
Yeah. There's like, I was like going in thinking because it's such a different college, I would be like studying comedy day one, and like, I was, but it was so like devised and artsy, which just has never been my scene. And I didn't get to a comedy class I liked until my sophomore year. And I was still like, up until I did Second City last year, I was like ready to drop out because it was just like, when am I going to do something that I want to do? I don't know. It was just...
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I always enjoyed like my comedy classes and... like the random weird classes that I decided to take. But yeah, it was definitely not what I expected as a senior today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really expect expectations. I didn't expect expectations. I didn't have any. And so my way of thinking is always, I'm going to do everything I can do here. I'm going to take everything I can take. It doesn't really matter where I'd gone to school. I just got as involved as possible, and so I just took what I could from the school. And
as you should.
Yeah.
So it's like the lesson here to that like regardless of what you do in school, what avenue you go down, it all comes down to like actually hitting the pavement and like trying to do your own work.
If you come here thinking that you can just do the comedy major and that's it, then you're gonna drop out. Which their dropout rate is high.
Really?
So it's super high. It's easy to get in, people drop right out.
And it's not just comedy either. It's
across
every
the board.
Major.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people like before they get out of high school, everything's kind of like, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do, kind of handed to you.
Yeah.
And you're kind of told what to do your whole life until college. And then in college, especially as an art student, people struggle with not like balancing what they should do on their own and what they should do for school.
After graduating, it was weird because I had a semester after Second City.
And I tried to like keep up my, like, I'm gonna write every day and I'm gonna do as many improv jams as I can and just like do whatever, but it's, you don't. But I don't know. It's just like once you're out of it, it's more important than when you're in it. And you like see all of the different types. Like I work at IO and there's so many jams there. And then I met all these people from the like, it's just impossible to avoid comedy. So I don't know. Like once you give what, or you get back what you give. So I don't know. Like that's the incentive.
You have to work for it.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's like, that's why it's so like misleading in a way. Like you think, you have to learn that you have to do like most of your stuff outside mm-hmm. of Columbia.
But I mean, Columbia like did, like we found our Colum collab, like, and we have an improv team that we've had for like 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good teachers.
It seems, yeah. I mean, you know, like, I don't know, I went to a school where there wasn't, comedy wasn't a major or a study, but there were people who were doing mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you sort of find your community mm-hmm. and like that was the most important part to me. I was like, oh, I found these other mm-hmm. cool fucking like-minded people who want to keep doing the work above, beyond, and outside of mm-hmm. this. Like, mm-hmm. I learned who I wanted to work with and like how to work with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sort of my take on it.
Yeah. I definitely think that being here for college has like already shown me a bunch of people that I love working with, and it's just nice that I'm in a city where I can work with them in school and outside of school mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm.
So that's a really great segue. So y'all are Spanx. How did y'all meet? Come up with the name, all of that. Give us the story.
Lucy and Lily and I were in comedy theory together our sophomore year. And I don't know, I think it was like right after the election, we were like, do you want to have like an all-female improv team for some joy in the world? And we were originally 5 people and now we're 4, but it's just been like,
were we 6?
We were 6. So many.
Oh yeah, no, we were 6. Yeah, you're right.
This team has had way more.
There's been many ups and downs. But we found like our good core that works. Yeah. And I don't, Zoe, we found through one of the people that isn't on the team anymore, but like T-God.
But me and Zoe had an all-female improv team our freshman year, mm-hmm. and then it just sort of fizzled out. So then we sort of revived it mm-hmm. our sophomore year with this new group.
New group. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we all made it very clear that we wanted it to be all women when it formed, just because I just really feel like it's different mm-hmm. when you're improvising. Mm-hmm. I just really think it is.
Yeah, I don't stress to me. Like nearly as much. There's so much more trust.
Yeah.
Because doing improv with like dudes that dominate mm-hmm. like and just don't listen or make you the wife. You know, like mm-hmm. like that happens all the time, and it's so much better to be the wife of one of you. You know.
I feel
every
like
time.
On mixed teams, I'm having to also be like the behavior monitor, mm-hmm. where I'm having to watch for things that I'm gonna have to save someone from, mm-hmm. or make nice, or just completely try and eliminate that it ever happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm always having the outside eye of like, oh, that woman's alone in the scene and she's being yelled at by 4 other mm-hmm. people. Who do I have to be to save her? You know?
Yeah.
I would say one of the suckiest about improv is those nights where you have a show and it's not like what you expected in terms of the audience, and also I don't know, like, you know, like when you go to a show and there's like 4 people in the audience.
The energy.
The energy, the energy. Not necessarily the audience, but the energy. But, and for the longest time, actually, I was like always upset about that for the longest time. And recently, like one of my teachers right now from Second City, Rachel Mason, shout out. She actually was talking to us about how it's never the audience's fault. And that really changed my mindset about improv and like sketch comedy and stuff. And it's more about just like having fun But I would say for the longest time, that was like the suckiest thing. Just like the energy of both audience and how that like bounces off.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a true reality.
Yeah. Right?
Like you get into it and you're like, oh yeah, there's going to be so many people at every show I do forever.
Yeah.
And you roll up to a spot
yeah.
and there's three people.
Yeah. yeah. And the suggestion is hot dog.
Or dildo. Or Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times it's dildo, Kim Kardashian, and Donald Trump. Like
and
every
pizza.
Time. This is it. This is at Comedy Sports, though.
Yeah, another.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
that's
true. It's dildo. It's always
dildo.
Something that I don't like about improv is that it's sort of along your same lines, but it's so disposable.
Yeah.
It's so much harder to get people to come to an improv show because there's no like clear way to say, oh, we worked for this. Like it's polished. It'll only happen this one time. Even though everything that you'll see will only happen one time, it's just harder to get other people to realize that when it's just your same team and
yeah,
like. I just don't like that it's like, unless you're a big name, it's so hard to invite people and actually get them to show up.
And mm-hmm. it's higher stakes for the audience too,
because
yeah. they are one of the three, you know, there are sometimes they're one of three people. And then they're
yeah.
like, oh my God, like mm-hmm. the people who are performing are looking at me and I came here to just like, mm-hmm. you know, look. Like they are so much a part of our performance. We get our suggestions, we get our energy from them. And the audience participation is major with mm-hmm. improv. And so like, I mean, getting people to like, I mean, improv shows are like their own joke sort of. I mean, like, it's like, am I about to like spend all of my emotional energy on an improv show?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do I have that in me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a whole other thing than getting to sit back and know that someone wrote this ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
They need you. We need
true,
that.
True, yeah. That's
you
exhausting.
Know? So pulling it out of them, I mean, that's
feed off
not
of the
easy.
Laugh.
Yeah.
yeah.
Our little hamster pellets.
Yeah.
Like we need to sustain
so
us through the rest
know.
Of
this. We can't do this in a void. Well,
yeah.
we have a lot of fun practicing on by ourselves.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what, that's something
yeah.
I have the most fun.
Yeah.
I love our rehearsals.
Yeah.
In
at
our
the end of the day, we're like, oh, well,
yeah.
maybe those three people liked it, but we had fun.
yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Art of collective storytelling where
mm-hmm.
you say yes to somebody else's
right.
idea
yeah.
and you build off of it. It's right there.
I think improv is a stepping stone.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's like
yeah.
that happens. It's
become
like
that, yeah.
I need to be on this Herald team at this specific
yeah.
like place, so I'm going to work like
mm-hmm.
a fake amount of hard to like
mm-hmm.
be cheesy and high energy with these people, and then that like fakeness never goes away because
mm-hmm.
you never work to actually like know who you're
100%.
Playing with or like try to get there with them because you're like, I need to have this on my resume to go further than this. And I think what's so cool is that like, I'm just, because I like you guys so much, I'm just here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to think about, you know, getting through this so that it's over and feeling like, I don't know. Yeah. That crazy, cause that's like so exhausting is
yeah.
improvising with people that are like crazy on. And
yeah.
it's somehow they're like, they look right through you.
Yeah, no, with
yeah.
us, it's like playing pretend, like little kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's never
yeah.
anything hard. And, like, we also don't like to follow that many rules. Like, we'll sometimes, like, I know, right? Like, we'll totally be like, oh, yeah. Like, one time, me and Zoe have always talked about pimping her out to do this one bit, this one impression. And then I finally remembered to do it in one scene, and it was just really fun because we're not working, you know, for much else except for each other.
And it killed.
Improv Sucks is recorded live every Monday in the heart of Boys Town, Chicago, USA, at The Mixer. The Mixer is a hyper-inclusive improv workshop and jam. Every week, we find some of Chicago's finest performers to teach a workshop and improvise right along with you. Come on by the Playground Theater on Monday nights at 10 p.m. to join in on the fun. Many thanks to the people who helped make the show. Morgan for editing and co-hosting. Firas for all of his help producing the show. Big props to the Nerdalogs for technical production and website hosting. This show really wouldn't be possible without them. All of their shows are supported by great people like yourself on Patreon. Seriously, if you love independent media, consider tossing them $1 a month. If everyone that listened chipped in, they'd be able to support more shows just like this one. Thanks.
His palms are sweaty. Knees weak, arms are heavy. I'm warming on a sweater already.
Thanks. you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think that's where we end.
Yeah.
True.
Nice. Yeah.